Welcome everybody to Parshas Chukas, Parsha Perspectives. I'd like to speak a little bit about the Parah Aduma, and this drasha's title will be called Submitting Our Intellect to Hashem. And I'd like to start with five questions, all about the Parah Aduma. Question number one, Chazal tell us that how do we know that a person has to dedicate themselves to Torah so extensively? The language of Chazal is, somebody has to kill themselves in the learning of Torah. How do we know that from? That figuratively, of course, up to but not including killing oneself. How do we know that that's true? The halachas of Tumas Ohel, it says a person should kill himself, a person shall die in the Ohel. And again, it's talking about the halachas of Tumah and the Paraduma. But here it says the word Zos HaTorah, Adam Kiyomis Ba'ohel. This is the way of Torah. A person should kill himself in the tent. And Chazal are understanding it in a metaphoric way of the tent of Torah, the tent of learning. So this is the source in Chazal that we're supposed to incredibly dedicate ourselves to the learning of Torah. And the question that arises is, of all places to teach us this very important idea of dedication to Torah and extensive dedication to Torah, why in Parah Aduma? Why not a pasuk somewhere in the halachas of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of, I don't know, Kovet HaTorah, of Kovet for a Sefer Torah? Why specifically by Parah Aduma is that where we're taught the importance, the value of Talmud Torah? That's question number one. Question number two is a question that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were traveling. Before they got to Har Sinai, they passed through a small town called Mara. And the pasuk says in Beshalach regarding this little place called Mara, Sham Sam Lo Chok Umishpat. And Chazal explained each word in that pasuk to mean that Klal Yisrael received a number of mitzvos, a sampling, a tasting of mitzvos, before they got to Har Sinai and they got the Taryag mitzvos. Hashem gave them a number, Rashi says, a number of parshas HaTorah to involve themselves with. Shabbos, Parah Aduma, Dinim, also Kibud Av Va'Em. Now I understand why, before we got the Torah, before we had a Mishkan, we have to have Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos is something we could start practicing. Dinim meaning the financial interactions. There are a lot of people around and people are stepping on each other's feet and, you know, their cattle are eating my flowers. My tuna fish. You have to pay for it. So I understand there are financial disputes between the people as they're traveling out of Mitzrayim. A lot of people all in one small place. Kibud Av Va'Em, yeah, I understand that also. Those are all practical before we receive the Torah. But to receive Parah Aduma, at this stage in our national history, when we don't even have a Mishkan, you can't do the Parah Aduma without a Mishkan. You need Ohel Moed, you need the Pesach, the doorway of the Heichal, of the sanctuary. Why are you teaching us the mitzvah of Parah Aduma when we're in Mara, before we even have a Torah, before we even have a Mishkan to do Parah Aduma? It's almost like a lesson in futility. That's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's question, why Parah Aduma was taught in Mara. That's question number two. Question number three. Question number three relates to something that is the first thing that we think about when we think about Parah Aduma. Parah Aduma is the classical chok. The classical chok that we don't understand, it's beyond our understanding. And Rashi, the very beginning of the parasha, points exactly that point out. In fact, the Torah says, Zos chukas haTorah, and tells us the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. The Torah itself calls it a chok. Rashi explains, what is this word chok? Says Rashi, The nations of the world will challenge us to say, what's the reason? Why do you do this mitzvah? Matam yeshba. And therefore, the Torah tells us this is a chok. Gzeirahim ilifanai. It's a decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't ask. We can't understand. We don't understand. Paradigm is the paradigmatic chok. But if you turn just a few psukim later, you'll find another Rashi. And Rashi there quotes Reb Moshe Hadarshan, and says, you know what this mitzvah Parah Aduma is likened to? It's likened to a maidservant who has her baby walking around the palace in a diaper, and the diaper gets filled and it starts dripping out and dirties the palace floor. So whose job is it to wipe up the dirt, this diaper mess of the lady's child? Well, the maidservant herself has to wipe up her own diaper's mess, says the Torah. Klal Yisrael violated Chayta Egel. What's an egel? A calf, a young cow, a young para. Tavo imo, let the mother come, v'tikaneach atzo, and wipe up the mess that the child made. Therefore, we have a mitzvah, para aduma, para, the mother cow, and an egel was our cheta egel. We made a mess with the egel, with the calf, with the young calf. Para aduma comes to be mechaper on cheta egel. The mother should come, a para, and wipe up the mess of the child, the egel. In other words, para aduma is as a kapara for cheta egel. So in a certain sense, there is a rationale. We have a contradiction in Rashi. Rashi first told us it's a chuk, we don't understand, it's beyond our comprehension. And then just a few psukim later, Rashi explains that para aduma is a kapara for chet ha'egel, based on this concept of the mother wiping up for the child, the dirt of the child. So we have a contradiction in Chazal. That's question number three. Question number four is a question that was asked by the Rebbe Reb Heschel. The Rebbe Reb Heschel lived in the early 1600s. I had the zechus to be at his kever in Krakow and behind the Ramashul. And the Rebbe Reb Heschel asks the following. He says, why is the mitzvah of Paraduma called a chok? There are a lot of mitzvahs that are called a chok. A lot of mitzvahs that don't have a reason. You know, what's the reason why we can only eat animals that have split hooves and chew their cud? There's no reason for that. What's the reason we can only eat fish that have snapir v'kaskesas, scales and fins? There's no reason for that. But yet, only by Paraduma does the Torah identify this mitzvah as a chok. What's unique about Paraduma? And he says the following, a beautiful insight, putting together two of the points that we already made. Paraduma was, Chazal says, to be mechaper on the Chet HaEgel. But when did we get Paraduma? Listen to this. When did we get Paraduma? We got Paraduma not at Har Sinai. We got Paraduma not after Chet HaEgel. We got Paraduma well earlier, at Mara. Well, at Mara you got Paraduma when there wasn't even a Chet HaEgel to be mechaper on. But the whole purpose of Paraduma is to be mechaper on Chet HaEgel? That's what doesn't make sense. That's why the Torah calls it a chok. Because the reason that we have for Paraduma is that to be mechaper the Chet HaEgel, well, Chet HaEgel never happened yet. It's before Chet HaEgel even transpired. And that's why it's a chok, because even if there is an idea what the purpose or the reason for the mitzvah is, that reason never happened. That's why this is a paradigmatic chok. Finally, one last question. The Sefer HaChinuch was authored by the Ra'ah, Rev somebody Halevi, I think. Not sure what his first name was, Rav Avraham, Rav something. And he wrote this book as a guide for his son and his son's friends, a guide to Yiddishkeit. And the way Sefer HaChinuch is organized, it tells you, it lists the 613 mitzvahs, and by each of the 613 mitzvahs, it tells you a little bit of an outline of the basic halachas of that mitzvah, and then it tells you the Shorash HaMitzvah, the Tama Mitzvah. And he's very creative. Every mitzvah, he figures out some kind of logic, some kind of thought process, some kind of remez, some kind of idea that the mitzvah is trying to convey. Every mitzvah. And then when he gets to mitzvah number 397, he says the following. Even though, with all the mitzvahs, I figure out with some creativity what an idea behind each mitzvah is in order to be mechanech, my child and his friends, in this mitzvah, paraduma, mitzvah number 397, my rafu yadai, my hands begin to tremble, Ve'ira, and I'm terrified, lefatzos pi, to say anything. Even in the most superficial sense, gam bepshat, even in a superficial suggestion of why we have a mitzvah of paradum. Why? Because I see in Chazal that this is a mitzvah that is secretive, that is mysterious, that is enigmatic. Chazal point out, the Medrash Tanchuma says, regarding the pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech says, Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, Amarti Ech Kama, Shlomo HaMelech says, I says I should become wise, nevertheless, but it's distant from me, which Chazal say that refers to Paradum. As wise as Shlomo HaMelech was, Paradum was beyond him. Another Chazal, a Medrash Tanchuma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lecha ani megale tam paraduma. To you and only to you I will reveal Paraduma, but not to any other human being in the rest of human history. And therefore Paraduma, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is beyond, I see the Chazal don't want to explain it, and say that it's beyond our understanding. And therefore, I too, even though I was created with all the other mitzvahs, and I figured out some kind of time with every mitzvah, by Parah Aduma, I refuse to do so. That's the Sefer HaChinuch. Comes with Yaakov Kamenevsky and asks a very simple question. He says, give me a break. What's the big deal if the Sefer HaChinuch would just offer another creative suggestion by this mitzvah? You know, there's a topic in the Gemara called Darshinan Taima Dikra. Darshinan Taima Dikra is that we look at the reason for a mitzvah, and based on the reason for the mitzvah, we adjust halacha. So for example, let's say the Torah says that you can't hold the mashkon, the collateral of an almana. You have to give it back to her overnight, every day. You have to give it back to her. Why? Because the almana is poor, and she's going to need this collateral, and you shouldn't take it away from her and hold it in where she can't access it. The Gemara says, well, what about if she's a rich almana? Does this mitzvah apply? So if you hold darshin and time of the krah, that we investigate, we follow the reason for the mitzvah, so the reason for the mitzvah is to protect the vulnerable, to protect the poor. Well, if this almana would be wealthy, we wouldn't have to, you know, be worried about their vulnerability because they're wealthy. You can't take her, you can't take this almana's item because she's poor, but this lady is rich. You could give it to her. You could take it away from her. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin lo darshin and time of the krah. We don't investigate the reason of mitzvahs and paskin differently for it. We're not going to change halacha if we offer a reason or a rationale for a mitzvah. Then why do we have tameh mitzvah? We have tameh mitzvah to give us a little taste, like a tam, a taste, a little inspiration, to derive some musr, to do the mitzvahs with a little bit more lev, a little bit more regesh, a little bit more ahava, a little bit more yira, so that they're not bland. The same reason why you add salt, not to make your food or to change your food, to bring out the flavor a little bit. So what's the big deal, asks Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky? Why does the Sefer HaChinuch so terrified? Why does he not want to enter the realm of offering a reason? What's wrong with a little bit of inspiration by Parah Aduma also? Why can't he say, offer a time no differently than any other than 612 mitzvahs, that he uses his creativity to offer a mitzvah, to offer a time ha-mitzvah? And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says a beautiful idea regarding Parah Aduma. He says the following, and with this idea we'll answer all the five questions that we've raised until now. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the mystery, the enigma of Parah Aduma is not in the performance of the mitzvah per se. It's not that we don't understand why we do Parah Aduma, but rather, every mitzvah has two aspects. There's the mitzvah, what to do, and then there's the mitzvah of the Torah of that mitzvah. So you have Dalin Min, you have a lulav and esrog. The mitzvah is to do take a lulav and esrog, shake it. But all the halachas of what makes the kosher lulav, what makes the kosher esrog, how do you tie it together, how do you do this, how do you do that, that's the Torah of the mitzvah. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, when it comes to Parah Aduma, the enigma is not why we do it. Why we do it is clear. We do it l'chaper al cheta egel, tavo ha'em v'tekaneach al tzoas b'na. But remains an enigma, what remains a mystery, is the Torah of Parah Aduma, is the limud, is the understanding, the dinim, the lamdus of Parah Aduma. How could it be, as you're familiar with the phrase of Chazal, that Parah Aduma is metar es hatmeim, yet metame es hatahorim? Parah Aduma has this dichotomy, has this, you know, inverse duality, that on one hand it's metar those who are tami, it's metami those who are tar, and therefore in its understanding, it is beyond human grasp. Why do you do it? Why do we do Parah Aduma? Oh, that's simple. That's obvious. That's not distant from me. That's not a rechoka mimani. That's to be mechaper l'cheta egel. With that, we can answer our contradiction that we asked a few minutes ago. We asked, how come Chazal say on one hand, Parah Aduma is the paradigm of a chok? We can't understand it. There's no reason for it. On the other hand, a few lines later, Rashi says, oh, we do Parah Aduma as a kapara l'cheta egel. The answer is, the reason why we perform the mitzvah, the reason why we do Parah Aduma, is as a kapar for cheta egel, true. But that which Parah Aduma remains an enigma, remains mysterious, is because we don't understand its mechanics. We don't understand how could it be that it is, that it accomplishes what it does, that it achieves tahara. After all, it is metame, those who deal with it. It makes tummy those who deal with it, but it's metara, those who are already tummy. That we don't understand. Why we do Parah Aduma in general, that we could understand. That's to be mechaper and cheta egel. If this is true, we could answer another one of our questions. We ask, why was Parah Aduma taught to Klal Yisrael before Har Sinai, before it became applicable? There was no Mishkan in front of which to perform the mitzvah of Parah Aduma when we got the mitzvah of Parah Aduma at Mara, before we had a Har Sinai, before we had Tuma, before we had the Mishkan. The answer is, even though the reason for Parah Aduma of Tavo Ha'em Tekanech Al Bana, even though the reason of Parah Aduma to be Mechaper and the Cheta Egel didn't apply, because it's before Cheta Egel, but Parah Aduma teaches us how to be Mekabel Torah. Parah Aduma teaches us that in the understanding of Torah, we have to be Mekabel, even if sometimes we realize that we're not going to understand. The primary prerequisite for Kabbalah Sator was Na'aseh V'Nishma. What does Na'aseh V'Nishma mean? That I'm going to commit myself, I'm going to submit to the Torah, even though I don't understand it. I'm saying yes, I accept it. You know, sometimes I get a phone call and somebody says, Rabbi Orly and Uri, whatever they call me, can I ask you a favor? And I'm sure this happens to you all the time, Ruth, can I ask you a favor? Golda, can I ask you a favor? Ima, can I ask you a favor? Now, there's two ways to respond to that. You could say, well, what is it that you need? And then you'll evaluate, do you want to say yes or no? But depending on who it is, you know what I like to do sometimes? I like to say, you want a favor? Of course I'm happy to give you a favor. What can I do for you? It usually works out well that way. Obviously, if it's too impossible, then you just, you beg out of it afterwards. But that's what paradum. That's what Na'aseh V'Nishma is. Of course we're going to do it. Now just please explain to me what you want me to do, how you want me to do it. That's the way we're supposed to be Mekabel Torah. That's the secret to Kabbalah Satorah. And that's exactly what Parah Aduma teaches us. Parah Aduma informs us how to be Mekabel Torah. That Kabbalah Satorah is not because we understand, therefore we do. But rather the opposite. Because we accept, therefore we will figure out what to do. And that's very different. We don't accept mitzvos because our mind's logic dictates that it's the right thing to do. It's the moral thing to do. It's the ethical thing to do. It's the enlightened thing to do. That's the absolute antithesis of Na'aseh V'Nishma. Na'aseh V'Nishma tells us we commit to do it without understanding. It doesn't mean that we lose our human logic. It's the opposite. It's that we're ready to submit our human logic for a higher divine logic. Meaning we're prepared to recognize that there is something that I can't understand, which involves humility. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech says, Amarti ech kama, I want to understand, but I recognize v'hi rechoka mimeni. And that's why Parah Aduma was given before Matan Torah. Because it is a preamble to Matan Torah. Because it is a precursor, a prerequisite for Matan Torah. Because it's the foundation upon which Matan Torah could subsequently be based. That's why before we had Matan Torah, we got Parah Aduma well before at Sinai. Of course, the reason of being mechaper and chet egel wasn't applicable yet because there was no chet egel to talk of. But Parah Aduma is the paradigm of commitment, and therefore it was appropriate to teach that to us before Kabbalah Satorah. And with this, we could also understand and come full circle to the very first question that we asked. The first question that we asked is, why in the world do Chazal teach us the level to which a person should be committed to learning Torah? Adam ki yomis ba'ohel, minayin she'ein devrei Torah miskaimen el b'mi shememis atzmola. The Torah is fully acquired only if you're willing to kill yourself, not literally, figuratively, that you're willing to kill yourself for Torah. Because of the pasuk by Parah Aduma, Adam ki yomis ba'ohel, you should kill yourself in the tent of Torah. And we ask, why of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, do Chazal choose to teach us the lesson of learning Torah, of commitment to Torah, of absolute dedication to Torah? By Parah Aduma? Not by the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself? The answer is because in Parah Aduma, as they say in the yeshivas, licked in Parah Aduma, included in Parah Aduma, is this very incredible lesson of absolute commitment, of absolute dedication, of learning and committing to something, even when we realize we might not understand. And that's why Parah Aduma, whose mystery and enigma is not so much in the why we do it, but in the understanding of it, in the learning of it, that's why that's the lesson that teaches us how to learn Torah. When a person learns Torah, there's different kinds of commitments. There's commitment to learn Torah with every fiber of a person's being, with every ounce of a person's energy. But there's also a commitment to Torah with a person's totality of mind, a sense of, let me accept that Torah which fits with my preconceived notions of my Weltanschauung, my way I will look at the world, or let me see what the Torah wants me to think, and I'll form my Weltanschauung around the Torah's dictates. Am I putting Torah first, or am I putting myself first? Am I putting my human logic first, or am I placing the divine logic first? Am I putting the Na'aseh first, or am I putting the Nishma first? And Parah Aduma teaches us that the way Torah was set to be given and set to be accepted by Klal Yisrael was as the Na'aseh, as the Nishma. In a way of, yes, there's a reason for everything I do. I do it to be Mecha, I do Parah, I do it to be Mecha for the Chet Egel. Will I understand how, why, what's the mechanism, why should it work, how could it work? Amarti Achkamavihi Rechokami Mani is well beyond me. I don't understand how it works, but I know that it works. We should be zocheh to have a perspective of Torah, to dig into Torah and try to understand it as deeply as we can, as profoundly as we can. But whether we understand something or not understand, to recognize at the same time that our commitment to Torah is with the recognition, with the humble recognition, that Torah makes a lot of sense. Perhaps maybe not to my mind and the mortal human mind, but it makes sense at least in the divine mind. And to that we commit ourselves. I want to thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Golda. Thank you, Ima.